We're like gold diggers, tunneling through the mishaps and the handicaps.
I don't know what to cook for them. I don't know what to give them to eat. That is the issue at hand as I speak right now.
In the name of the good, we hope to earn the truth and be worth our weight in salt.
Every night, every night, every night, every night, we hear 1 million boys, 2 million boys, 3 million boys. Come on, people. People wouldn't have no money. You're supposed to plan it where people can follow you. Everybody can follow you, both the rich and those poor.
The Sunny Side with Joyce.
The Sunny Side with Joyce.
Weekdays, 12 to 3 p.m. on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
Hello and a very beautiful good afternoon to you and welcome to 99.3 Nigeria Info. How are you doing? And hope you had a very pleasant, beautiful, rewarding, relaxing weekend. Welcome to another work week on the Sunny Side. My name is Joyce and the sun rises here. It's 21 minutes past 12 and I really do hope you're ready for what this week has to give. Or maybe what this week has brought with it, and then you take from it what you will. I don't know that you should be taking everything. But then be aware, be in the know, and grateful for radio. Here we have an opportunity to talk about, discuss the issues that concern us as Nigerians, and maybe, where necessary and in good conscience, discuss the furtherance of our national ideology. And that actually sounds like we first of all have to unite on a national level, on an individual level, on a cultural level, on a people level, on political levels. And then together we can chart a course that takes us somewhere into the future. Last week, I did tell you that we're going to be speaking with a Nigerian who's an importer who has an experience that I thought was worth radio. I really thought it was worth radio because I've been asked the question about why there are too many bottlenecks, you know, when it comes to quite a number of things that make us Nigerians. Why is it that there's just too many layers to a system that should otherwise be made easier for people who need services or need to access a service? And honestly, I must admit that because I'm not specifically involved in some of those, you know, realities, I read about it, but you know how it is when you read about something and then you experience something. Today we have the privilege of a Nigerian who has experienced it, I guess, more than once, twice, five times. And I'm not sure, he doesn't quite sound like he's crying about it. We'll have to ask him that personally. But it sounds as though it's necessary that we experience it firsthand, what the problem is. And as the course of our life goes, we hopefully would speak to someone who can do something about it. That would be in no time from now. I'm due for a short break in about 2 minutes. So let me use that time to tell you what's coming up later on today. After we speak with our guest, whose name is Sam Hart, we're going to be looking at the abduction in Niger State and how we can bring an end to it. First of all, we cannot deny the repeated pattern that we have seen play out when it comes to kidnapping, or abductions, and then release. Abduction, release. Abduction, government goes into it, negotiates, sometimes they pay a ransom, or as we have it today, Minister of Information, Lai Mohammed, is saying that they had to, you know, use kinetic and non-kinetic measures to achieve a goal. So we're going to talk about that. Do we continue this way to maintain the pattern? Or is there something dire that needs to happen for there to be a change in this circle of life? Yeah, because at this point, we can call it life. It's happened long enough for we to say this is a part of the Nigerian experience. So that is a conversation we'll be having later on. And also in the news, former governor of Imo State, Rochas Okorocha, is in the news. He was arrested. It's a very dramatic outplay, but it's really worth looking into. And hopefully you can share from your Nigerian angle whether you think the approach meted out on him was fair or unjust, whether you think there needs to be other measures by which governors should acquire property, and you know what you put. I know most of you have a sentiment regarding men in office, particularly how they were when they went in and then how they emerge on their way out. Off on a break, we'll be right back. It's 99.3 Nigeria Info. You're on the sunny side. Okay, and then I also would like to say a very big thank you to Americana Art Gallery in Ikeja. Look, I really do apologize. I got a letter couriered to me about a few weeks ago, and I've really been meaning to make mention of it. Then I keep forgetting, and I just keep forgetting. I wanted to bring the letter to the office today and share the contents of it with you. I mean, the part that I think concerns you, but thanks to every Nigerian out there who listens to radio and thinks that there's something that they can do to help either shed more light or help chart our cause forward. So thanks very much. Given that I'm not with a letter, I do not have on my mind at this very minute the name of the person who wrote me that letter, but I want you to know that I'm thoroughly grateful that you would write me and contribute what you believe to be a means by which we can understand why some systems are the way that they are, and eventually we can at least demand accountability from people whom we have put at the hem of affairs. Is that a letter? Oh, you're such a darling. Prince Lenny, is that it? Yeah, thank you very much, Prince Lenny. So Prince Lenny is a creative artist and publisher of Americana Art Gallery. Two good heads are better than one. So thanks to Pinion, she really just saved the day. Yeah, thanks to Prince Lenny, creative artist, publisher of Americana Art Gallery. Look, we're going to quickly go off on a break. When we come back, the Nigerian Sam Hart will be on Nigeria Info to share his Nigerian experience as an importer. Don't go anywhere.
This is The Sunny Side. My name is Joyce. Right here on the show, you'll enjoy the unvanished truth from a people of a rising continent. On Mondays, radioactive. Tuesdays, open thought. Wednesdays, worthy of note. On Thursdays, the lords of logic. And on Fridays, oh, what a week.
Wow.
I invite you to the world on The Sunny Side. Right here on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Weekday from 12 to 3 p.m.
My name is Joyce.
To 9.3 Nigeria Info is 32 minutes past 12 on the sunny side. My name is Joyce Unyemua, and welcome to the sunny side. So, as you already know, we intend to speak with, we're speaking with Sam Hart, who is a Nigerian businessman. He is on the sunny side today, and who better tell you the way things play out than the Nigerians who experience it firsthand? It is our pleasure to have the person of Sam Hart, a Nigerian businessman in Nigeria Info. Good afternoon to you. How are you doing?
Good afternoon, Joyce. Thanks for having me. A pleasure being on your show.
It's good having you here. And could you introduce yourself? We'll appreciate that.
My name is Sam Hart. A businessman, okay, but I'm also a public official. I'm the Director General of the Abia State Marketing and Policy Management Agency.
All right, great. So you've been in business for how long now? Can you hear me? Oh, well, hold on a second. We're having a okay. Go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
I can, please. And then I can't. All right, if you have just tuned in, welcome to Nigeria Info. Can you hear me, Sam?
All right, so I just answered you. I said, yeah.
I'm with you. I'll ask that you go on if you can hear me. This is a good day. Don't worry about it. It's a good day.
Hear me.
Now I can hear you. Unfortunately, there appears to be a poor network connection. If we can't kind of establish the best connection in the next 2 minutes, we might have to change our means of communication. All right. We're going to quickly go off on a break. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Join the conversation no matter where you are. Download our mobile app by searching Nigeria Info FM on the Google Play Store and the Apple App Store. Also, get news updates and sports, entertainment, news, and current affairs right on the app. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
We're like gold diggers, tunneling through the mishaps and the handicaps.
I don't know what to cook for them. I don't know what to give them to eat. That is the issue at hand as I speak right now.
In the name of the good, we hope to earn the truth and be worth our weight in salt.
Every night, every night and day, we hear 1 million boys, 2 million boys, 3 million boys. Just for one, come on, people wouldn't have no money. They're supposed to plan it to where people can follow you. Everybody can follow you, both the rich and those poor.
The Sunny Side with Joyce.
The Sunny Side with Joyce.
Weekdays, 12 to 3 p.m. on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
Let's talk. Welcome to 99.3 Nigeria Info, the Sunny Side. I do apologize, we're having a little glitch with the connection, which is not unusual, but we would have another means of communicating with our guest, a connection that we're establishing this very minute. So if you just keep your fingers crossed, in about a few seconds, we can really look to the Nigerian import export industry through the eyes of one who himself is an importer. Well, I've heard a number of people complain about the cost of importation, for example. In fact, I remember one importer telling me that the cost that consumers complain about is something that could be managed if the cost of importation was far less. Apparently, there tends to be a lot of cost involved in the shipping of goods back and forth that eventually, for the one who is in business to make any kind of profit, somebody has to shoulder that cost. And all of this certainly touches the nerve of what we would cumulatively call standard of living, cost of things. And then on the other divide, you have the power of your currency and how much that could acquire for anybody in the open market. So we have Sam on telephone. Hello, good afternoon, Sam. Can you hear me clearly?
Hi, Josh. Yeah, I can.
Yes,
I can hear
this
you
sounds
clearly.
A whole lot better. So we left off where you were trying to explain how many years in business you've had under your belt.
Yeah, I've been doing this for like 2 decades now, but on this particular role, it's been about 6 years.
6 years
mm-hmm.
As an officer in the Abia State government.
As an officer for this administration, yes.
Officer for this administration. But by the way, and this is really just trying to pick your idea on the on this administration on a more holistic level. I don't know whether you would speak ill of it. Not that I'm seeking you to speak ill of it, but to give us what would be an insider's point of view in regards to how this administration has fared in your point of view.
By this administration, you're talking about the federal government, right?
Exactly.
Again, like you said, we are not going to attack, as it were. It's just stating as it is. They've done their best in certain sectors, but of course, there's still a lot of work that needs to be done.
All right. Can you hear me? We're going to win eventually. Hello, can you hear me, Sam?
That is before us.
Oh, okay. I lost your last two sentences. I'm not sure why it's turning out this way. It never is this way. Pardon me. Could you please repeat your last two sentences?
I said, you know, that the administration obviously has done some appreciable work in some aspects. And then in other aspects, there still remains a lot that needs to be done. And since we are all involved, we're all affected, we can only, you know, wish them the best and hope that all those who have been tasked with different responsibilities bring their A game and ameliorate the plight of the citizenry.
All right. Let's talk importation specifically. You're an importer. I think I like to call you a businessman. Would that be accurate?
It is accurate, yes. You can do that.
Okay. How long have you been importing?
Again, for this specific role now, for about 6 years now.
So what has been your challenge, the challenges you face as a Nigerian trying to get things or goods into the country?
Myriad. Quite a number of them. Things seem to be stacked against, you know, the proper way of doing things. Like every proper normal procedure is stood on its head, and disorder becomes the norm, and normality is sort of discouraged, if you may. And then this is across board, across every agency, across every desk you have to pass through. Things that ought to have been simplified, you know, automated, and all of that. There is still a lot of human interface. There is still a lot of human involvement. And of course, we all know that that is a recipe for disaster and all kinds of other things to happen. So it has been frustrating. You know, initiatives have been rolled out over time, but the problem has never been with the initiatives. It's just the proper implementation of same and seeing to it that what is said on paper is actually what is translated on the street.
Look, I really do appreciate the ambiguity of your response, but I thought I wanted to have you share with us specifically your last experience.
Now we're talking. I respond to what you asked me.
yeah, and okay, thank you. You kind of pushed it. Here we are.
If you throw me a curveball, I throw you a curve answer.
All right, okay. can we speak about your last experience then?
Now we're talking.
All right. So go ahead.
Yeah, anyway, so we imported some things from China, and then it arrived on the 21st of December. And it was valued, and the duty was communicated to us, and we paid all that we were asked to pay. So now begins the tough challenge of getting the container out of the port, even after you've met with all the requirements and all the criteria and paid everything you've been asked to pay. You know, so the whole process is, again, like I said, designed to just frustrate you. Trailer takes more than a week and two sometimes to get into the port, to actually lift your product and bring it out. And of course, your demurrage is accruing.
Accumulating, yeah.
Yeah, it's accumulating. And then you have to pay. Every day you go and revalidate your, you know, order. Every day you go and revalidate the order to use to bring out the trailer from inside. And of course, an entire new racket with the drivers themselves. The closer they are to the loading points, you know, the more they renegotiate the cost of lifting your container. You could actually agree with them a week prior, but then once they get into the port, anybody can come and make them a new offer, and they ditch your contract and accept the new one and load. It's quite... I shared my experience, and then over, you know, thousands of people told me that I was even being mild, that it was way worse than that. And yeah, that's what we faced.
And I was hoping that you would not be mild on radio. I would really appreciate a little bit of details. And here it is. I want to ask you this. Mm-hmm. Did you make any complaints, maybe official or unofficial, to say, you know, one of the officers at the port, what did they say?
The thing is, and this is what I consider to be the problem with administrative procedures in Nigeria. The things that happen do not happen in hiding. They happen in plain sight, like openly. You see brazen things going on. You see people frustrating others and openly demanding for some kickback or some money to hasten the process. Of course, there are supervisors who are part of this. Everybody is in on it. So you cannot solve that problem or nip a problem in the bud if everybody across the chain of command is involved in it, because how do I know they're involved? If they are not involved, like I said, they don't perpetrate these things in hiding.
Yeah.
All they have to do is deploy people to go monitor the process and see what officers are doing and see how it is going. And once you hear these people making these open demands for kickbacks and all that, you pick them up or you suspend them or you intervene and say, hey, this is not done here or something. But the mere fact that it is like it's harrowingly open. You get that, there is no sense of urgency. Everybody is just doing what they are doing. Trailers are stalled. It's just happening in plain sight, like I said.
Yeah.
And then you are trying to say, hey, guys, you know what? Can we move this forward? Can we? Everybody is looking at you like you obviously just fell from the sky. This is how we do it here. Get with the program or you know, leave this place or something.
So
yes,
I did
make an attempt.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wanted to underscore something. You're saying that the program, the pattern of doing things, mm-hmm. is slow, very slow, and that
intentionally and deliberately languid, intentionally and deliberately designed to stall the entire process and keep, you know, these processes elongated.
Even after you've paid.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You go pay. We pay online, of course. You make the e-payment and all of that, which is a small component of what you have to pay. Like I said, there are still human interface. There are still human aspects of it. You deal with multiple cartels at different levels, even with the drivers themselves, then with the officials that will get it out and all of that. And you are never quite sure at any point in time if you've met with your entire criteria, because you could finish, there is no clear-cut directive or line or you know, order of things. So, okay, if I fill these three forms, I pay for these three things, duty, this, that, then I'm good. My truck can come out or my container can come out. No, it doesn't work that way. Anybody can spring anything at you at any time, and you are compelled to comply, as it were. And there is no protection for you to know that, okay, listen, I'm being shaken down. Who do I report to? They laugh at you or they just laugh you to scorn and say, hey, it doesn't seem that you're ready to do business here or to get a container out. So it's brazen, Joyce.
Like sad.
I said, when I tweeted about it, like everybody, 99% of those who responded, in fact, I guess the 100%, were all bemoaning their own fate too and saying, yes, they've gone through the exact same thing. So it's not possible that the officials are not aware that these things are the order of day. Of the day at our ports. Of course they are aware. We have presidential task forces on port, the congestion, we have officials of the MPA, we have, but then, like I said, everybody is in on it, so nobody is incentivized to go solve the problem.
Wow. When you bring in your container and then you pay online, as you say that you pay, mm-hmm. when you have your one-on-one dealings, say you're speaking to officials in order to help facilitate the clearing of your goods, you pay them and this is documented? Or is this just something that happens behind a closed door?
I give you an example, and this is just the same thing, like I said, across board. Now, you go to renew your driver's license or renew your international passport or something, and it is said to you jokingly, even right there within government offices. They said, you know, the official fee is what, 3,000? In fact, because you even print out your receipt, and what you see on the receipt is what, 3,000, 2,500, or just some fraction. Well, at the end of the day, what you end up parting with is way more than whatever is reflected on your official receipt that you have there.
Can you give us can you give us some specifics as to how much it would cost you normally to clear good and how much you paid?
Yeah, it's dependent on the content of the container. It is evaluated according to different factors. It's either the value of the goods that are in there, and then there are different categories of goods, and the customs and the MPA, they print out this schedule.
Yeah.
Pretty regularly, updating what is allowed, what import duty you pay on each of these. I imported lights, solar street lights, right?
Yeah.
So they have their code, they have their category, and they have the applicable duty to be paid according to the value of the goods inside the container.
Okay.
You know, so yeah, let's say your goods were worth, let's say 50 million,
mm-hmm.
then that's 20% duty that you're expected to pay on that.
Yeah.
So you're looking at, you know, 10 million in duty alone. So you pay all of that, you do all of these things, and then as far as you're concerned, you're good. But then that's just the beginning of your nightmare, like I said.
Wow.
You know, no urgency to bring out your container. It could take a month. Then everybody is offering you back channels. We all know what back channels are.
I was going to make that my next question. I heard you were offered a back channel and you turned it down.
Yes.
Why?
Yes, because I needed to. If we all shy away, and I do believe, Joyce, that this is the crux of the problem with our leadership, you know. Those who enact policies and seek to implement policies do not understand firsthand. They have a romanticized view of what they think that the problem is. What you see in reports and beautiful charts and all of that inside offices is far removed from the actual situation on ground. You have to interface with this problem to understand it firsthand. In the hotel business, they have what they call blind customer or blind calls. Officials of hotels will be the ones to place calls to customer, to front desk, just to hear what response the staff will give. So those who want to implement policies, those who want to change or solve a problem, they must ask order of first, line of first order, go into the problem as neutrals and understand what the problem is without any help, so that they know what the average man is going through. I've been around, so I have contacts. I have people I could have called to or taken up all the offers I got for back channels. But no, I wanted to understand what exactly do people who do not have access to the opportunities I have go through.
Okay.
So I cut off every opportunity for every form of help, and I went through what the average guy goes through. And that's why I was able to come out with the various phases and various stages at which artificial roadblocks are mounted for the average importer. And it shouldn't be okay to have back channels open to some people while others do not have the same access.
Okay.
So why don't we have a level playing field for everybody? And then, I mean, anybody can come in and solve the problem. Like it is done in similar climes that we've all been to.
Everybody
understands what should be done. You do it, and then you are good to go home. You don't need to know anybody. You don't need to know any back channel.
Okay, I have two very important questions for you.
Sure.
I wanted to ask why you're not using any other port and what problems you think might be the situation as to why you would not use the other ports available. That and how much it would cost you to transport your good eventually when you clear it from Lagos to where you're taking it to. In this situation, where were you taking the goods to? Abia State?
Abba, yes.
Okay, so
it
now...
It cost me about 2 million naira to get my trailer to Abba after clearing. 40-foot container.
2 million naira?
Yes.
That sounds
and
like...
And that was the initial bargain until, like I said, my first two trailers reneged on our arrangement. So now I'm desperate. I'm paying demurrage every day. I'm spending money on hotels in Lagos and all of that. So I was desperate. So I needed to leave. So I had to renegotiate an extra with another trailer. So we're looking at about 2.4 million just to get my trailer or my container to Abba.
We're off on a break. We'll be right back. It's 99.3 Nigeria Info.
We're like gold diggers, tunneling through the mishaps and the handicaps.
I don't know what to cook for them. I don't know what to give them to eat. That is the issue at hand as I speak right now.
In the name of the good, we hope to earn the truth and be worth a weight in salt.
Every night, every lad and there, would hear 1 million boys, 2 million boys, 3 million boys. Come on, people wouldn't have no money. They're supposed to find it where people can follow you. Everybody can follow you, both the rich and those poor.
The Sunny Side with Joyce.
The Sunny Side with Joyce.
Weekdays, 12 to 3 p.m. on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Welcome if you have just tuned in. My name is Joyce, and we've been speaking, that was before the break, of course. We were speaking with Sam Hart, a Nigerian, you know, businessman who's explaining his revelations, or say his interaction with being a business person in Nigeria. He's interacted with the system. He is a part of the system, interestingly, but he is one of many who would want things to be done differently. Well, I know that you would like to share your own experience. We would speak with him, and once we're done with him, you would have the floor to share your own experience when it comes to importing or maybe even exporting goods within and outside their nation. Hello, and join us as we finalize our conversation with Hart, Sam. Hello, Sam, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can hear you.
Thanks. Okay, yeah, I'm so thankful that you are there and have been waiting. So before the break, I had a question for you. You were trying to, you said that it would cost you about 2.4 million naira to transport your good from Lagos port to Aba.
It would.
Okay. Now, we've heard some rumors. Well, of course, it's a rumor. I would like to confirm some aspect of it. People say that it will cost you much more to import your good, for example, from China to Nigeria. No. That it would cost you less from China to Nigeria than from the Nigerian port to wherever you're taking your good to.
That might be a bit generic. It's not entirely factual, depending on what you are importing. But yes, there are things you would import that, you know, what you end up paying is not as much. Listen, even within Lagos, from Apapa to Mile 2, perhaps, or somewhere within, it hovers around 1 million naira to get a container from Tinkan, from Apapa, from APMT, and all of them, to bring it out from Apapa itself to even anywhere on the mainland, Lagos mainland. It costs between 850,000 to 1 million naira, depending on what the traffic is for that day. So these other costs now is the cost to leave Lagos to your other locations factored in. But even within Lagos, it's on the average of 1 million. Lekki and environs is 1.2 million and all of that.
Wow.
So what you are paying for is the loss of business and loss of income of this tank trailer drivers, because they've been on the queue for 2 weeks. So they've not made money in 2 weeks. So that's what you are paying for the torment they've been through and for the hardship they've
really
been through. So, yeah, that's it. That's the reason for that high cost, nothing more. Fuel will not take 10,000 or whatever else. So what you are really paying for is the fact that it took them 2 weeks. It took them 3 weeks.
Before you showed up.
For it to get to their turn. So you are the end user, the consumer, is paying for that, all of that time spent waiting for it to get to their turn. That is just a summary of it.
Well, thanks for that revelation. It doesn't make the pain any lighter. Okay. I want to find out, have you used other ports, and can you tell us about a challenge and why not?
Yes. Yeah. I've had cost to use on airport, and yes, it functions, it works. But then I'm sure your next question is, so why is anybody importing within the East still bothering with Lagos, right?
Exactly.
Now the reality is that sometimes at the port of loading or at the point of buying your goods, your suppliers have, you know, this whole thing is a chain, so they have their exporting company there. The exporting company has a shipping line they prefer using. The shipping line has ports that they are more comfortable shipping to. You know, they've raised issues about on airport. There are restrictions. There are issues of facilities that are there, issues of ship handling, issues of container handling, and all of that. So it's like multinationals insisting on sleeping in certain hotels for their staff, or something, or flying certain airlines for their staff because of safety considerations and all of that. So there are shipping lines that will only dock at Lagos or at Apapa, at Tinkan, because the truth is those are still our best ports with the best equipment for handling, ship handling, and container handling. So all it probably requires is additional investment in these other ports. Where dredging is required, you dredge. Where, you know, cranes and quays and other equipment are required, you provide them that meet the current prevailing international standard. But for some reason, the way we are, these things are not available in these other ports. It is in Lagos that you have the best facilities and the best equipment. So some shipping lines insist that they can only offload at Apapa and Tinkan.
Okay, you had an observation about the road, particularly the one leading out of the port. Could you recap that?
Yes, as we speak, the roads are in shambles. The roads leading just directly from the entrance to the port out. Now, it has been handled by Dangote, and it was part of the arrangement he has with the federal government for a tax rebate. He built the road leading to the port, you know, so that was fine. That was agreed upon. Now, work is ongoing, but then in the same language, the same laid back, the same lackadaisical system that we've seen with the entire port operation, they can just decide not to show up in 2 weeks, and nobody's saying anything, and that's it. Remember, they are doing it with their money, so they are doing it at their pace. And
the Nigerians within that environment have to endure and wait.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They have to endure. You can't even drive your car to that port. You have to stop at mile 2 and take a bike. And the bike, whoever you are, whatever you're wearing, whatever your title, you stop at mile 2, you take a motorbike, and it's the motorbike that will bring you to the entrance of the port where you now alight. Of course, no facilities for waiting, no reception areas, no lounges, no nothing of that nature, nothing civil and nothing decent.
Nothing decent.
You have to now mingle with,
everyone.
Everyone.
The common man now.
Well, I didn't want to be elitist, but you have to mingle, and then you just stay there, and it's an entire racket going on. So, yes, the road is being handled by Dang. So they now come, they close a lane, or they close two lanes, actually, as the case is. They wrote the two lanes leading in and out of the second gate of the Tinkan port is inaccessible, is off limit now. So they have to meander now to go back to the first gate and go back through another. So these are all the things put together that build up the backlog and ensure that it takes forever for the trailers to. And again, I keep repeating, there is no sense of urgency in anything.
Which kind of makes it worse, because by the end of the day, you have to pay.
Yeah, in the road construction, in the order of even the one road that is remaining. So can we have some order in the going out and the coming in? No, it's haphazard. It's crazy. You know, some guy can just come and drop a cone, stopping trailers from moving, and that's it. Nobody is in a hurry to even say, why did you drop this, or can we remove it? Or nobody is urging anybody along.
Wow.
That was the most frustrating aspect for me. Nobody was urging anybody to, like, can we get on with it, or can we? Everybody has accepted that it's just okay to be laid back about the whole process, and it's okay for it to drag forever.
All
nobody
right.
expects it to move further.
Let me ask you now. You turned away. You turned your back on, say, a shortcut of some sort. Yeah. That certainly would affect both the time you eventually clear your goods and maybe, of course, how much you would pay. Is that a problem you're willing to shoulder? Is that something you're willing to take on?
Like I said, again, at some point, I've been in government, I've been in leadership, I've been around power. So, but at some point, I guess I wish, and I hope they're listening, I wish more people in power would do what I did. I wish they will come down from our privileged bubbles and actually, you know, drop our titles, our names and everything, and go transact and go trade and go attempt to use some of these services and see for ourselves what the truth, what the true position and the true situation is. So that when consultants and, you know, quick-speaking and fast speaking people come to tell us that everything is okay, we know that it is not okay because we have experienced it. Again, the only reason why I turned down all opportunities for a back channel or for an expedited process is so I can firsthand understand what the challenges are. So that, I mean, tomorrow, if I happen to belong to a number of, presidential committees, if I'm sitting at the table where this thing is being discussed, I'm not saying hearsay, I'm not reading off of a report, or I'm not reading from what I read in the newspaper.
You know what they're talking about.
I have experienced it firsthand.
I want to ask.
I can profile a solution because I've experienced it.
This is probably going to be your final question, then I'll let you go. The goods you import into the country, do you retail them?
No, I do not retail them. This was for government use. Like I said, they were solar street lights.
Okay.
And then we've also, I do import equipment. Like, again, I drive the Made in Abba campaign. So some of the equipment that we use in production, shoe production, fabric production, all of these things that are not locally available, those are the things that import on the regular. So they are not even like for stricter sense or commercial purposes. It's for developmental purposes. So the street lights were for the roads that have been built. The equipment were for the shoe factories and the garment factories that we're doing and stuff like that.
Your Made in Aba campaign, you are Director General of the Made in Aba campaign. What's the objective of that?
Redirecting the interest of, or rather ensuring the quality of the goods that are produced in Aba and finding new markets for them and ensuring that they assert their market, you know, their place in the market space for people to be able to look inwards and be comfortable with buying stuff that comes out of Aba because it is beautiful, because it is durable, because it is nice, and not necessarily out of any patriotic Buy Nigeria sentiment. No, because it is good.
Whose standards? Who sets the standard? Because you know how it is where the standardization many times, depending on where you go, can kind of fluctuate, and a person can self-determine what their own standards are. Does anybody set the standard?
My agency is named Abia State Marketing and Quality Management Agency. Now, we have a number of quality metrics which we've set out, and we undertake periodic monitoring to ensure that these producers adhere to that and stick to that. Of course, the problem we've always faced is that they make amazing stuff, but then they brand it foreign brands. So they lose their market share, they lose their name recognition and name growth and all of that. So part of the work we've done is to get them to take ownership of this,
their craft,
creations
and
inventions, of their craft. You can't toil all night producing a beautiful shoe, then give the credit to some guy in Italy having coffee. You know, you should be able to stamp your name on your product, and proudly so too. So
isn't that because the psychology of the average Nigerian is that goods made in Nigeria and not of great quality?
Yeah, we have what a professor of marketing has called the foreign consumption complex. Like, we'd rather consume what is made abroad. But Joyce is not entirely true. Believe me, we also like quality. So there are people that don't bother with name. Once they see stuff that is good, they don't need to know if it is an LV or a Gucci or whatever. Is it good? Fine. Then they go ahead and they buy it. So it's the, like you said, the psychology of wanting to buy foreign stuff that pushed our folks to start labeling their creations with foreign brands. But then we've gotten them to the point where just make good stuff, people will buy. And then people have been buying. The governor himself, the governor of Abia State, Okezie Ekpazu, he only wears stuff made in Abia since he became governor. And that has given them some boost, some confidence to say, okay, if we can clothe the governor, then who can't we clothe? You know, so it has raised their game, raised their craft, and they are doing amazing so far.
Okay, do you think Nigerians should switch their faith and hold on to something coming out of Aba Umuahia?
We are doing the best we can. Again, we are not we are not marketing based on sentiment.
Okay.
We are marketing because we trust the quality of what we're coming out with. We trust that it is awesome stuff. We trust that it is amazing stuff.
Yeah.
And we ask you guys to watch out for us.
Well, we're watching now. Thank you very much, Sam Hart,
for being on Nigeria Info. Thanks for having me.
99.3 Nigeria Info has been a pleasure and a very interesting conversation we've had with Sam Hart, who is the Director General of Made in Aba campaign and also a Nigerian importer, one who chose to not follow a shorter route in order to achieve an end. Off on a very short break when we come back. 0700-993-993-993. It's your opportunity to contribute on the subject matter, sharing your experience as an exporter, importer, or maybe a consumer being at the other end of the economic supply chain. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
This is The Sunny Side. My name is Joyce.
Tune in to The Sunny Side with Joyce every weekday from 12 to 3 p.m.
Expect so much fun right here. 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Nigeria Info. Welcome to The Sunny Side. So what are your experiences bringing goods in or taking goods out? A lady said to me, hello, Joyce. Hi, thank you very much for actually putting this on radio. To be honest with you, I'm frustrated. My aunt was run out of business because of the cost of both importation and the general Nigerian problem of rent and cost and bills. It was too much, and so she had to shut down her business. Colin here says to me, hey Joyce, hi, how are you doing? To be honest with you, I think it's very frustrating doing business in Nigeria. I wanted to go into importation and I collapsed at my first try. You collapsed. That's your... Look, if you would call me, I'd like to hear your story. 0700-993-993-993. On the sunny side, we're talking importation and your experience as a Nigerian. Hello, good afternoon to you. Sorry, I lost you. If you would call in, if you'll call back, that'd be appreciated. I'm the numbers for the ladies. Someone said to me, Joyce, thank you very much for the numbers for the ladies. It kind of makes her life a lot better. Someone is saying, Joyce, please tell the ladies to call more now that there is a number for them. Or now, what other excuse do they have? Sunday says, Joyce, good afternoon to you. I have a very important question to ask the government. Why is it that these issues that linger and linger year in, year out are not being dealt with? Is this a cursed country? Or do we have leaders who would not open their eyes in their position as leaders? Well, that's a question we're hoping to probe. Hello, good afternoon to you. Welcome to Nigeria Info. Sorry I lost you. If you would, please call back. My name is Joyce. What's your name? Good afternoon to you.
Yeah, good afternoon, Joyce.
Good afternoon. Welcome. What's your name? Can you hear me? I do apologize. I think I've lost you again. Sorry about that. Good afternoon.
Joyce, afternoon. How are you?
Fine. Thank you very much. Welcome. What's your name?
Yeah, my name is Adi.
Welcome, Adi. We're happy to have you.
Joyce, it was nice, the discussion you just had with your guest. Very lovely. Oh, but do you know one thing I fear for?
What?
What importers go through is a ripple, it's going to be a ripple effect on the economy and consumers. Imagine the explanation that man gave to how he goes about bringing his goods in from the port after the arrival. So check it on whether it will not pass the effect back to the commodity. Like you asked him, he said, what he imports, is it on retail business? He said no. Let's assume it's on retail business. Is it not going to be passed on to the goods, the cost?
Oh, absolutely. A lady actually sent us a message saying that at some points, the cost for clearing the goods was more than the cost for buying the good.
Okay.
Yeah, and so basically that means that the reason some consumers are paying what they pay for some goods is because of the cost it costs to import the good.
Yeah, and consumers will now bear the effect
absolutely
in the long run.
Absolutely.
This is uncalled for. Government needs to focus majorly on the activities that pride itself in the ports. Government needs to do it. They need to focus more on it. Let's even leave other sentiments out. But the government needs more activities to do the benefit of the country. Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling the sunny side. Hello and welcome to Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
Finally, I got you.
I'm happy you did. Thank you very much.
Guys, all of you with good names, Joyce Onyemuwa.
Yes.
Sandra Ezekiel. Where are you getting these names from? I want to pick one.
What's your name is
Austin. I enjoy listening to your program.
Thank you.
And my wife as well. Now, the truth about the matter is that Nigeria is a conspiracy.
Uh-oh.
I tell you the truth. From 1918, Nigeria has been a conspiracy. In 1918, 1914, when we had the amalgamation, you understand the truth about the matter is that nothing is working. Nigeria was created to fail from the beginning. And so all these things we are talking about will still go round and round and round unless God, in his infinite mercy, decides to step in or something catastrophic happens in Nigeria before Nigeria can have it. I tell you.
Wow.
You know, wow. I've seen it all, my sister. I was in the secondary school, we had exchange programs. People coming from the north to come and school in the south and all that. He has not come up, he has not produced anything and nothing can come out of it.
Okay.
Can you tell me that Nigeria got a conspiracy? We have ports all over the country. And then you ask me to pay 2 million naira from Lagos to the engine of the conspiracy to make sure that when I bring my goods from the South East, I bring my goods into Nigeria.
Actually, he said 2.4. He actually said 2.4.
Hello?
He said 2.4 million, yeah, to transport from.
And so I transport. So what is the best thing for me to do is to make sure I have a warehouse in Lagos. I have my shop in Lagos. So that there's no point going all around. I just open a shop here and begin to sell. And then Lagos will make money.
All right.
Is it not a conspiracy theory?
Well,
it's a conspiracy. Nothing is working. The roads are terrible. Nothing is going on. Schools are definitely nothing to write home about. You go to a secondary school about 40 years ago, the same structure, no development. And money is there, signing budgets every day, every time.
Thank you.
It's a sad situation in this country.
We appreciate you calling in. Thank you very much for calling Nigeria Info. Hello and welcome. Good afternoon to you. What's your name? Hello?
Hello?
Hello, welcome. What's your name?
Hey, Joyce. Hi.
Welcome. What's your name?
For the benefit of this conversation, I just want to be called Kay.
All right, Kay. We're happy to have you nonetheless.
All right. So, Joyce.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the conversation with Art. He has said everything. There's nothing to add. There's nothing to remove. But I just want to say quickly that there's no solution to the problem at the port.
Why?
And that's the honest truth. You know why?
I mean, how could you even say that is even the next question.
Fantastic. Now, most of the stakeholders at the port, most of the people making money from the port are the government. So they are not ready to make anything work at our port. They are not ready to make anything work. I'll give you an example. When you bring in your goods and for some reason you're unable to clear the goods out of the port, and your good is incurring demurrage, the terminal owners are not willing to waive any demurrage for you, knowing fully well that it is not your own fault that you couldn't clear out the goods.
Yeah.
But you now ask me, who are the owners of the terminals? Government officials. They are the owners. So they don't want anything to work because they are making a queue.
Do me a
favor. That's the honest truth.
Are you an insider?
I'm not an insider. I'm also an importer. I bring in goods every now and then.
Okay.
And this is what we go through every day. Every day. I've had instances where a custom officer, after fulfilling all righteousness, he just wanted to frustrate all the effort. He couldn't find anything to pin us down. And then he was demanding for money. At one point, he told us to take his name to Abuja and then go and report. He was not afraid. He was not afraid of anybody. He said, take my name. Take it wherever you want to take it to. So you can imagine what we are talking about. There's no solution in sight for the problem at the port. That's the honest truth. And if after you get your goods out of the port and you are going on the road, guess what, Joyce?
What?
There's something we call federal SARS. They will stop you on the road and they will still find some fault. Then you will now ask yourself, Oga, did I bring this thing out all by myself, or your staff at the port signed it out? They will tell you they don't care. They will tell you the duty you have paid is too small. You now ask yourself, I didn't fix this duty. Your customer at the port fixed the duty, and it has been paid, fully paid. This is the evidence. They will tell you to tow. They will tow your container to their office at Ikeja. If you dare follow them there, Joyce, you will never get your container out until you pay with everything you have in this world. So, in conclusion, there's no solution in sight. Thank you very much, Joyce.
Thank you very much for calling. We're 99.3 Nigeria Info, you on the sunny side. Oh, wow. We're off on a break. We'll be right back. My name is Joyce.
More talk, more, right after this.